to wait for you, to wait indeed for somebody who has taken the lead for many, many years in the Irish community to address, you know, a word that we have difficulty pronouncing, much less reluctant to mention, suicide, and how to prevent suicide. Pat McGann, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much, Adrian. How are you?
I'm hanging in like the rest of
like
us.
Like everybody else,
yeah.
I guess, right? Devastating times.
We throughout our programs and indeed throughout our community, we've talked about, you know, the Mehel, and you've been only a few miles from where I grew up myself in Sligo. We would know a lot about the Mehel and together, you know, to help. A couple of times, I think you will remember, if you were passing a bog and you saw a whole load of people there, they were all neighbors helping one another out. In the harvest where you had the grain and the wheat, and that famous threshing machine that came along, it was powered by a belt from a tractor. Neighbors getting together, showing concern, actually returning the favor. I suppose that would be the Mehel. We see it, and we have seen it, Pat McGann, in all organizations across the board here. I'm not sure if a lot of people recognize that suicides, unfortunately, among, you know, the Irish community being more real than we might imagine, and how you and many others, you know, could not and would not ignore that and do something about it. Would you tell us about Solace?
Yeah, that's so true, Adrian. Unfortunately, I lost my brother, and one of the reasons getting involved in Solace House and starting and help started here in the U.S., I lost my brother in Ireland. It's coming on 6 years. And devastating time and devastating circumstances, and it hit home. And, you know, we all talk about it, you know, we don't talk about it until it hits home sometimes. And so I got involved with, originally it was Pieta House, which is, as you know, very big in Ireland. And Joan Freeman asked me to get involved in starting a similar organization out here, which we did. And due to some legal terms, we had to change the name to Solace House, but we have been in existence now in the New York metropolitan area for the last 4 years. And, you know, very active in fundraising to make sure that we keep it, keep the doors open and keep the phones open. We have approximately 6 full-time psychiatrists and 4 administrative staff. We have a girl who I have to give a shout out to, Rebecca Sked, who's our CEO, runs the organization. Rebecca is amazing. But as you can imagine, Adrian, at times like this, because of anxiety, depression, fear, isolation, the demand for these services peaks. And we have the psychiatrists working around the clock doing what they can. And a lot of the fundraising sources we relied on, the Irish bars, the restaurants, we know what's happened to them now. And these are the same people using our services now because of, you know, uncertain times and unprecedented times.
Yeah. And the, you know, the added pressure and restrictions for those suffering from depression and everything that that tends to lead towards suicide. Now, being, you know, confined to home. How is Solace handling that aspect of it?
Well, I think, Adrian, we've sort of we're doing everything we can to help everybody. And as you can imagine, the demand is just amazing. So what the therapists have been doing, they all have cell numbers. So if you call a regular phone number, they will, you know, they will answer the phone pretty much nearly any time. It's to be there for people, talk to people, talk them that things will get better. Because unfortunately, the service that we normally would provide is where they come in and they sit down in a room and you talk, we can't do anymore. Because as I was thinking before, this brings up a lot of stuff. People are confined. You have, you know, there's other things that happen, domestic abuse, child abuse in cases like this, which a lot of people don't want to talk, you know, don't tend to talk about. And we've young kids calling, you know, this is happening at home. I need help. You become a one-stop shop kind of thing, Adrian, you know?
Right.
It's sad, but it is what it is. And, you know, as long as I can help raise the awareness of Solace that we are there to help people, I wish the phone didn't ring, but it does, and it brings a lot.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
And again, sometimes when we think of the horrific scourge that leads, you know, to suicide, we kind of forget that there are those who don't, that it just doesn't come on, the environment, the sense of fear, of hopelessness, of all of that. And you gave a good example there with point out domestic violence, unrest, you know, the new pressures that are brought on by this pandemic. There's no rule book as to how we are supposed to act. But again, for those, you know, again, who need to talk to somebody, who may themselves be okay and coping, but know of family members, of friends, of neighbors who are desperately in need of help. It's not a simply a question of calling Solace and say, okay, well then, you know, we have a neighbor here and why don't you give her a call and see. That's not how it works. This takes a lot of community effort to get help for those who absolutely need it.
Yes, totally agree, Adrian. And what happens, I think, in cases like this, isolation, you know, we all know that restaurants being shut, bars being shut, a lot of these individuals that do suffer with anxiety or depression, they have a kind of a release. They have, you know, with bars and restaurants or whatever the case may be. But all of that, that's all shut off now. So, you know, it's more important now that we are available for people.
Yeah, you on your board, I can't mention all of them, but there are some like Paul O'Brien from Pinnacle Environmental Company and Jim Burns from Genova Burns Law Firm. You have Pete McGuigan there. And also, you know, a great friend of the organization who runs a golf outing is, you know, Faye Devlin, you know, from Eurotech Construction, so many others. Now, in normal times, you have mentioned, again, a great number of people whose businesses can afford to donate to your organization, Solace House. And this is a time of, on top of everything else, those worrying about, you know, where tomorrow's meals are coming from, those who are feeling lousy about the fact that, you know, their employees, those, there's no real road forward, and yet there are fixed expenses that can't wait. Solace House is no exception to what is now, unfortunately, you know, the norm.
No, that's so true, Adrian. And, you know, we have amazing board members. You've mentioned some of them there who have been great. And Faye Devlin has been a lifesaver every year doing a major golf outing. But as a result of the pandemic, we're a lot of the fundraisers we would have, the Darkness Into Light Walk, et cetera, that's just one example. We can't have any of these now. So, you know, we're doing what we can. We have the therapists themselves working double shifts and not looking, you know, for overtime or anything. So, you know,
right.
There's a lot of people stepping up to the plate. And as you know, Adrian, the Irish are amazing at that. And
we're good at it.
I cannot thank all of your listeners and everybody who steps up to the plate and have been for years.
But
again, we feel bad because there is so many other organizations out there that are looking for help at this time.
I think though that it's no harm, as a matter of fact, a very good thing to single out solace those who are indeed prone to, in some cases, suicide, and those who are contemplating it, those who can't get themselves out of that rut. It is indeed it's timely, and we have you know, all been together in better times, quietly supporting, you know, this organization. We can't afford to be that quiet about it at this stage. Funds are needed, but also the help and the helpline is as it always has been. It's there. It's there 24 hours a day. To you, Pat, all the people involved with you, many who not only, you know, are not named, but who wouldn't want to be, because they, and I think that maybe like yourself, in, if not in our direct families, we do know people on a first-name basis who have had that wicked scourge of having a family member and he succumbed to suicide. I thank you for what you're doing and, you know, continue. Now, how do people, first of all, get the information? How do people learn about
what
you're
doing? Well, we have a website, Adrian.
Okay.
It's solacehouseusa.org, solacehouseusa.org, and telephone number 718-482-0001.
We, of course, we have attached your website to irishradio.com, give people a direct link. Pat McGowan, good luck to you.
Thank you very much, Adrian. I really appreciate it. And a happy Easter to you and your family and all your listeners. And
obviously, you know, to you. And, you know, I'm from Mayo. You're, you know, from Sligo. We've always, indeed, gotten along quite well, except on the football field. And we're going to get back there, and we're going to get you fellas yet. You know, that's all I'm saying.
I know you well, Adrian. Be safe, my friend, and thank you so much.
You're very welcome indeed. All right. We'll
all right,
rattle
Pat.
Off that information again. Pat McGowan there. A pillar of the Irish American community, involved in so many organizations, as in fact many people are.